Praise the Lord. He is here. He has risen. Yeah, you know, some people get all excited about the Lincoln Memorial. They celebrate that. They celebrate, you know, Washington and all of these different ones. And that's good. I like these guys. But I tell you what, Jesus come out of the grave. Now we celebrate Jesus. He's worthy. He is worthy. And there's a lot to it. I wish I could cover everything that I could, but I've got so much time here. But I'm telling you, we are going to talk this morning about this one named Jesus. And if you keep coming to church here, you'll find out more. Yes, was that a plug? Yes, it was. I thought Tommy was going to preach my sermon this morning, but he went by. It was close. Again, I want to say to everyone, thank you for coming. It's so good. We welcome you here, and I do believe that you're going to be blessed this morning. You've already been blessed this morning. And this morning, we're going to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 7, and I believe we're going to be putting that on the screen for you. This is in Matthew 28, 1 through 7. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Think about that. They came to see the tomb. So let's stop here just a minute and talk about this. And I think I know why they went to see the tomb. It's something you do. When somebody dies, you go to see the tomb. You know, when my husband died, when I didn't even have a grave stone up for him yet, because it took me a while, but there was just a little marker there, and I would go see that, a little thing with Hamby written on it. That's all I saw. But I would go there on a winter day when the snow covered the little marker, but I knew where he was, and I would go there and just sit there. And these ladies, it says here, they came to see the tomb. Can you imagine how these ladies must have felt as they got up early that morning to go see the tomb where Jesus lay? I can only imagine that their hearts were broken. They probably recalled what they had seen that past Friday as they watched Jesus being brutally beaten by Roman soldiers. They watched as people hit Jesus, spit on him, and even tore the beard right out of his face. They watched the soldiers beat Jesus and ripped his flesh from his back. Because you see, the beating that Jesus took wasn't just any kind of beating. It was a scourging. And I read an article by Rick Renner, who is a Greek scholar. And he said that when you would just mention that word, scourging, it would put fear into hardened criminals. This whip consisted of a short wooden handle with several 18 to 24 inch long leather strips protruding from it. And at the end of these leather strips was equipped with sharp, rugged pieces of metal, wire, glass, and jagged fragments of bones. And this was considered to be one of the most feared and deadly weapons of the Roman world. And every time soldiers struck a victim, and this is what they did to Jesus. Jesus went through this. Every time they struck a victim, the straps of the leather attached to the wooden handle would cause multiple lashes because of the bones and the metal, and it would sink into the flesh and then rake across the victim's body. And the victim's back, buttocks, the back of the legs, stomach, upper chest, and the face would soon become disfigured by the slashing blows of the whip. Historians tell us that this beating was so bad that it would lay a person's back open to the point you could see their spine, and sometimes their intestines were right there, sometimes even hanging down. And then, as we'll go on to say, and then after they did this to Jesus, then they put a wooden cross on his back. It was so brutal that you couldn't even hardly recognize him. Isaiah 52 and 14 says, "Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." You wouldn't have even been able to recognize who Jesus was. You may wonder, why am I telling you all this? I tell you this because of Isaiah 53 and 5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Hallelujah, hallelujah. He paid an awesome, horrible price for us to be healed. And for us to sit back and say, well, I don't know if it's God's will to heal me. I might be pleasing more to God if I stay sick. That's not of God. That's of the devil. And I want you to stop that stuff. That is not of God. Jesus paid a price. He paid an awful price because he says in the Bible, by his stripes, you are healed. And I challenge you and I dare you to believe that this morning. In this verse, God declares that the price for our healing would be paid by those stripes that were laid across Jesus' back. Jesus' broken body was a payment God demanded to guarantee our physical healing. Just as Jesus willfully took our sins and died on the cross in our place, he also willfully took our sicknesses and pains on himself when they tied him to the scourging post and laid those lashes across his back. That horrific scourging paid for our healing. And if you need healing this morning, you have every right to go to God and ask for healing to come flooding into your body. It's time for us to dig in our heels and hold fast to the promise of God's word, releasing our faith for healing that belongs to us. And if you're a born-again child of God here this morning, let me tell you, healing belongs to you. I want you to say that. Healing belongs to me. Hallelujah. Now say it with an attitude. Healing belongs to me. Good. Woo! Are you getting warmed up yet? All right, let's keep going. Now let's get back to these ladies. Okay, so they're coming to the tomb to anoint the Lord's body, to put the spices and all that. And I'm guessing that they're reflecting back to when Jesus was on the cross and how they watched as these Roman soldiers pierced Jesus' hands and feet with these huge nails. And as I said, this was after he had been beaten almost to death. He almost died in the garden. Did you know that? Perry Stone, I read an article by Perry Stone who said that when he was in the garden of Gethsemane and our sins, your sin, every sin that you have ever committed was placed upon him that day. And it was so much, it was so horrific because this is someone who had never sinned. And your sins, my sins, was placed upon him to the point that it says that his sweat became as great drops of blood. And then, after that, then they took him and they beat him. And now they're putting nails into his hands and into his feet. These women, they were standing there and they heard him cry out from the cross, I thirst. Can you imagine how they must have wanted to climb right up on that cross with him and give him a cold drink of water? That's the mother in me right there. I'm telling you, if that was your baby boy up on that cross, you'd want to climb right up on that cross with him and give him the coldest drink of water you could find. But they had to stand there and they had to watch as these Romans gave him vinegar to drink. They also watched as Jesus took his last breath and said, it is finished. These ladies were standing there when they pulled Jesus' body off the cross and wrapped and placed him in a borrowed tomb. They wanted to put spices and anoint his body right then, and they'd have probably done it in a very lavish way. But they didn't have time. The sun was going down and they needed to observe the Sabbath. So now we see these ladies are coming down the road on this early Sunday morning. It was Friday, but Sunday's on the way. Matthew 28:2. And behold, there was a great earthquake. This wasn't no little thing like struck my house, not to scare me silly. No, this was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I love it. Sat on it. Woo! I love this because what we see here is the power of God exploding inside of that tomb, reconnecting Jesus' spirit with his dead body, flooding his corpse with life, and he got up. There was so much power released behind that sealed entrance of his tomb that the earth itself reverberated and shuddered from the explosion. This wasn't just any little earthquake. It was mega. Then an angel rolled that stone from the entrance of the tomb, and Jesus walked out through the door of that tomb because he's alive. He's alive. Hallelujah. Woo! And notice that when the angel rolled away this huge stone, he sat down on it. And some have speculated that this was one big old angel because that was one big old stone. I've been to Israel, and I saw one of the stones that was in front of the tombs. And I'm telling you what, they are big, and they're huge. But this angel rolled away the stone and sat on it. These soldiers probably thought that they had rolled that stone in front of the tomb where Jesus lay and their worries were over. They probably thought they had seen the last of Jesus, but it was only the beginning. The enemies of Christ had sealed the stone, sealed the tomb with the stone, and since this was their hour, but all the powers of death and darkness are under the control of God, and the angel of heaven has power to break the seal and roll away the stone, though ever so great. The angel sitting upon the stone after he had rolled it away shows a secure triumph over all the obstructions of Christ's resurrection. And here, I want you to get this. There he sat, this big old angel. Now, you got to remember, Satan and his cohorts had just had been having a party since Friday. They'd been partying. But now, look at this. It says, there he sat, defying all the powers of hell to roll the stone back in front of the grave again. That angel sat as a guard to that grave, having frightened away all the enemy's guard. He sat there. In other words, devil, you might have had a heyday Friday, but your day is over, and we have rolled away the stone, and he's alive forevermore, and you're not going to do this anymore. Woo! You can't contain Jesus. That's why we just say, go ahead, Jesus, in this church. Too many churches. Oh, do I go there? Too many churches. The church of the chosen frozen. I'm telling you, this is no day to be frozen. This is a day, I'm telling you, we need to serve. He is Jesus. He, all power was given to him. When he came up out of the grave, all power was given to him, and he turned around and delegated that power to us. And we need to celebrate. We need to tell everybody that we can. I also like an article I read by Jesse DePlantis about this. He said, what Satan meant to hold Jesus in was what the angel used to proclaim that Jesus was out. And we all have stones in our lives. At problems, you know, but too many folks have made an idol out of their stones. There's actually people, when I say stone, I'm talking about problems, sickness, finances, whatever. There are actually people that when they hear you tell about your problem, they will try to go up one on you, you know. Oh, you think that's a problem? What do you hear? My mother-in-law moved in with me, you know, or I've had this sickness for 45 years, or, you know, you don't want to embrace the stone. No, we need to pray. We need to pray. It's time for us to quit talking and crying about the stones or the problems or the obstacles that's holding us back in life, because we can use the word of God to roll the stone away. When you pray and speak God's word to that stone, you better get out of the way because it's getting ready to roll. When Jesus came out of the grave, he came out with great power. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? And the book of Colossians tells us, now pay attention right here. The book of Colossians tells us that Jesus went into hell and demanded the keys from Satan. I don't think that, can you imagine? Sometimes I think about that. What the world happened in hell, you know? Did I say that right? Yeah, okay. Got to be careful. What the world happened in hell? But anyway, can you imagine? Jesus went down there. Yes, he died, and then he went down there. But then he took from Satan the keys. He said, "Keys, please, give me those keys." And he not only did. I can't go into all this morning. I was talking with Buddy about this last night. We were talking about scriptures and stuff. But Jesus, when he went down into the grave, what happened down there? And I wanted to really elaborate on that, but I need to keep going. But I want to say this. When Jesus went down into hell, how's the best way to put this? He embarrassed Satan. He made a fool of him in front of all his demons. He brought Satan to naught, which means zero. He stripped him of his power and authority. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that when Jesus came out of the grave, all power was given to him. Not 99.9% power. All power was given to Jesus. Hallelujah. So, and get a hold of this right here. 1 Corinthians 2 and 8, it says, see, so, you know, Jesus went down there and messed up Satan's kingdom. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2 and 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, had the devil known that Jesus was going to rise up with resurrection power and ridicule Satan in hell in front of his own demons, he would have never worked so hard to have Jesus crucified. And let me just share with you this morning, and when you, as a blood-bought child of the Most High God, start rising up with authority that you have in Jesus Christ, and you start speaking to those stones or those mountains or those problems in your life, when you start praising God before you ever see the answer, and you going around saying, I trust God to bring me through this, the devil will come to the place where he says, man, if I had only known that, I'd have never messed with her. If I'd have only known that, I'd have never messed with him. If I'd have known that, I'd have never put that sickness on them. Because now they're going around telling everybody they're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Or he might say, if I had just known how that they were going to react, I'd have never messed with their kids. Because they're going around saying, great shall be the peace of my children. Satan may have said, if I had only known, I would have never touched their finances. Because now they're going around and they're tithing and they're talking about that God will rebuke the devourer for their sakes, and I can't take that anymore. So what happened after the angel rolled away the stone and sat on it? I love that. He sat on it. That angel, I just know he just had an attitude. I'm serious. I could just see him rolling away the stone and sitting down like, anybody with a piece of me? Matthew 28:3, his countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And so an earthquake and a big angel almost scared these soldiers to death. They fainted dead away. They folded like a cheap suitcase. But Matthew 28:5 says, but the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell. That is our job, too. Go quickly and tell. And he was telling these women, go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. And I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is alive and he's well. And I don't know what anybody's dealing with in here in this morning, but I'm here to tell you that just like the angel rolled away that stone, God is able to roll away those big problems and those stones in your life. And those of you that have asked Jesus into your heart already and you're living for him, the Bible tells us that you are triumphant in life. You know, some people got this weird idea that if you become a Christian, that your life is over. Oh, my goodness. Your life has just started. You got the greater one on the inside of you. You got heaven backing you up. When you walk in somewhere, all of heaven just walked in with you. Oh, I love being a Christian. I tell God, I love belonging to you. I do. And it takes a real man or woman of God to stand up and be a Christian. Some people actually think that Christianity is for sissies. Oh, really? That in the early church, if they were sissies, they gave their lives to be a Christian. I mean, they were shredded by lions and everything else because they stood up and said, I believe in Jesus Christ. It takes a real man or woman to be a Christian. 2 Corinthians 2:14, and it says, I don't know if I just read that to you or not. 1 Corinthians 2:14, and to God our thanks, who at all times is leading us in triumph in the Christ, in the fragrance of his knowledge, he is manifesting through us in every place. Does that sound like a defeated Christian? The word triumphant, does that sound like defeated? No. And what I'm trying my best to tell you this morning is that Jesus is alive, and he paid a terrible price for your sins and for your healing, but he did it because he loves you. And the other day, I received a letter from my insurance company telling me they'd been going to bat for me on this one claim. This one claim just kept coming in, and you know what? I just sat back. I said, I see what they're going to do. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to wait and see. And so I just kind of sat back and watched. And so then they wrote me a letter, and they let me know they are taking care of this. And it really made me feel good to know that they were fighting for me. Well, the good news this morning is that Jesus has fought for you, and he won. He won. He won. He mopped up the floor with the devil, and Jesus is Lord of all. He is victorious. And it doesn't matter if you're the worst sinner in this place this morning. Jesus loves you. And I'm going to tell you something. Maybe nobody's ever told you this before. If you're the worst sinner in here this morning, and I don't know who's here. I don't know. I'm just telling you, if you are, Jesus belongs to you. That's what the Bible says. Jesus belongs to you. But you've got to make a choice. What are you going to do with him? What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with this one who laid down his life? What are you going to do with this one that took the nails in his hands and feet? What are you going to do with this one named Jesus? Because you have to either receive him or you have to reject him. The choice is yours. I tell you, I would much rather receive him right now than one day have him turn and look at you and say, I never knew you. The Bible says, if you reject me before man, Jesus said, I will reject you before the Father and the angels. We need to be careful. I just have a fun life. I like my life. I tell you what, my worst day as a Christian is better than my best day as a sinner. And that's the truth. Stand at this time, if you would. And bow your heads, close your eyes. No moving around right now, please. This is God's time. And just going to be kind of talking about what Sean was just saying. And that is that right now, today, you're here by divine appointment. You know, it's not a mistake that you're here. Did you know that the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that before the beginnings of the earth, before the foundations of the world, God knew who you were? He knew you'd be here this morning. And so maybe something that Sean said or something that was sang this morning or spoken, and you feel like, Pastor, I don't think I'm ready. If Jesus came today, or if God forbid I died today, I wouldn't make it. I know I wouldn't go to heaven because I've never asked Jesus into my heart and life. And I want to say to you this morning, it would be my great privilege. I would count it a great honor this morning if I could invite you to come up this morning and introduce you to Jesus Christ. It would be a great privilege of mine to introduce you to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he loves you. He knows everything you've done. He knows every sin you've ever committed. And he said, I've got just enough grace to cover that. He said, he will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And this will be the first day of the rest of your life. Is there anyone here, just by raising your hand, and you would say, Pastor, I would like to meet this one named Jesus. I'd like to meet him. Or you're here and you were like Sean. You've known him one time. You knew the Lord one time, but you walked away from him. And you're saying this morning, I would like to come back to the Lord this morning. I need him. I need him in my life. I need him to roll away the stones in my life. Is there anyone here? Just raise your hand. And I would love to pray with you this morning.